Well, I don't know about you, but I've thoroughly enjoyed the conference so far. The preaching's been great. The teaching's been wonderful, helpful. And I want to continue, hopefully, along that line with the teaching. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Get to speak on one of my favorite subjects, and that is the devotional life. And hopefully give you some devotional helps that, we'll be able to enhance your devotions. And if you don't have regular daily devotions, I hope this will encourage you to do so. And if you do have devotions, hopefully this will give you a couple of thoughts to make them a little bit better. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And of course, the theme of our conference is equipped in the Word. And we can't be equipped in the Word if we're not in the Word. So let's pray and ask God to bless. Father, we do thank you now for your love. Thank you for all that you've done for us. Thank you for what you've done in this conference already. And Lord, I thank you for this wonderful opportunity to be able to speak about you, about your Word, and about trying to develop our relationship with you. This is the most important thing, and I just pray that you'll help us with it in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, devotions, daily devotions. You know, if there's one thing that I've done that I'll never regret doing is having daily devotions. That's helped me more than anything else in my Christian life. There's one thing that I'll never regret about doing with my family, and that's family devotions. That's what's kept our family going over the years. And so you can't beat daily devotions. You can't beat family devotions. And we enter into a spiritual battle every single day. And therefore, we need to be in the Word of God every single day. And I notice that the Word, it says here, is profitable. That's what it says. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. It's very profitable. A lot of things in life we do aren't profitable. First thing people do in the morning, they grab their phone, they check for text messages, they check the news, they check their emails, they check Facebook, and that's not very profitable. But when you put time into the Word of God and building a relationship with the Lord, that is really profitable. And most of us hear a lot of preaching about, you know, and reminding us we need to have our devotions every day and, you know, make sure you're in the Bible every day, read your Bible. In fact, the kids sing that song, right? Read your Bible, pray every day. And they have enough sense that if you do, you'll grow. And some of us don't grow because we're not in the Bible like we ought to be. And, you know, you ever wonder where we get that word devotion? These daily devotions. What's that word? Well, just look it up in the 1828 dictionary. It says the state of being dedicated, consecrated, or solemnly set apart for a particular purpose. That's the first definition. Next one's even better. A solemn attention to the supreme being in worship. A yielding of the heart and affections to God. That ought to be our devotion. Daily devotion. That I'm yielding my heart and my affections to God with reverence, faith, and piety and religious duties, particularly in prayer and meditation. That's why we talk about daily devotions. It's not just, hey, let me read through this little, this little daily devotional, or let me just read through my little schedule I've got it. I tick it off, man. I got that chapter done. Boom, I'm done for the day. Let me get out and I got that out of the way. No. You didn't get it out of the way. You better get it in your heart. And so devotions are really important. And I could go on and on and on and on. I got many, many lessons about having devotions. I am not going to try to convince you why to have them because you hear a lot. What I would like to do is give you a few tips, a few thoughts that might help you to make sure your devotions are all that they can be. Now, what I'm going to say is I'm going to give you some things that have helped me. And by no means do I have a corner on the market on how to have devotions. Some of you could teach me a whole lot, I'm sure, about having devotions. I want to give some simple things, though, I think that will be a help. I've got 7 points, but don't worry, the first one's really, 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 really long. And the last ones, I don't even know if we're going to get to them. So we'll just see what we can do. If anyone knows me, I always over-prepare. Number one, keep your devotions organized. Keep your devotions organized. Don't just open your Bible haphazardly and read a verse. Oh, I don't know what I'm going to read today. Like, oh, yeah, right there. But we trusted. Well, I don't know. That's not. I don't know. That's not how you read your Bible. And you don't pray by just, you know, just, well, whatever comes to my mind today, I'll just talk about for a couple. I only got like 2 minutes, so let me just, whatever comes to my mind, I'll talk to God about. You ever hear about the one-minute Bible? Well, that is ridiculous. I have my devotions in 1 minute. You didn't have devotions. Go by the definition. I don't know what you had, but you didn't have devotions. And so there should be some organization. You know, there's not one passage in Scripture that tells us exactly how to set up our personal devotional time. There's not. But there's a lot of places in Scripture that give us a good idea how we can communicate with God. So, again, I'm just going to put some of these things together, and if they help you, great. I'm going to try to follow Brother Moore. He gave us a nice little pointed outline. So I gave you number one. Let me give you letter A underneath this, all right? I'm an outline guy, too, so I was like, oh, yeah. Letter A. We're talking about keep it organized. Start with a short prayer. So why should you do that? Why? So I don't find I do find some Bible for that. Three things I think you can include in the short prayer. First thing you should include, I'm not saying you have to go through this mechanically. It ought to just be in our heart that there's a few things that we would include as we get ready to have our devotional time. Verse one, number one underneath that is thank the Lord for his many blessings. So why? Well, I'll tell you why we should thank the Lord. Psalm 100 verse 4 says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with be thankful unto him and bless his name. So we should start our day praising God. We should thank him for what he has done for us. Thank him for what he will do for us. That's faith, by the way. He likes to hear praise from our lips. So I think it is good just to begin our time with God and just be thankful to him. Secondly, we're starting with a short prayer. You're going to have a longer prayer time. And prayer is not just something you turn on and turn off. Prayer is just actually something you do throughout your devotional time. All right, so you've got the short prayer. You're thanking the Lord. Secondly, number two is ask for forgiveness of any known sins. You can even, if you don't even know your sins, you can pray as David. Search me, O God. All right, that's a good place to start too. But you can, in James chapter 4, verse 8 says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. So we've got to, when we come to God, we must come clean. Of course, we're all familiar with the passage in Psalm 66, verse 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So, whatever you're dealing with, sometimes we know there's a battle in our minds. I'm fighting this. God wants me to do this. I'm just going to ignore it. Don't ignore it because you're not going to get very far. Okay, we've got to deal, whether it's laziness, selfishness, pride, anger, fear, lying, bad thoughts, lust, whatever it is, confess it to God. And when you confess, here's another little tip I can give to you. When you confess your sin, don't sit there and dwell on it. Because as you dwell on that sin, you're rehearsing all of the evil in your mind. You know, I had this bad thought. Boy, that was really bad. And boy, Lord, that was really bad. And pretty soon, you're right down reliving the sin and you're sinning again and you're trying to confess it. So you confess it and you move on. All right, so that's it's teaching. Thank the Lord for his many blessings. Ask for forgiveness of any known sins. It's your short prayer here. And you say, well, I got so many sins, it ain't short. Well, then you're going to have long devotions. And by the way, our devotions shouldn't be too short. When you get through all this list, I don't know how you can have them in less than a half hour. And if you can, great. You know, you ought to have some time you can shoot for. You know, not everyone can go an hour. But I'll tell you what, when we went on the mission field, we learned real quick, we needed time with God. And my wife up, she was up 5 o'clock in the morning, 5 to 6 before the little rugrats got up. And that was her time with God. And I had my time, and it was an hour. Sometimes it would extend longer than that. And you've got to have some time with God. And I'm not saying you have to have all that, but the more you can get in, the better you're going to be. So the third thing in this short prayer is ask God to teach you something from the Bible. You're getting ready to get in the scripture. So in Psalm 119, verse 18, it says, "Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." Lord, this is your word. You've got a message for me. So please, would you please open my eyes? Let me see something, because I don't always understand things. And it's neat sometimes you're reading the Bible and say, "Lord, I don't understand that. Can you show me that sometime?" You get like two verses later. He's like, "Here's the answer right there." Oh, yeah. Glad I prayed. It's exciting. It's exciting. And so you start with a short prayer. Letter B then is read your Bible and, here's the hard part, think about it. And by the way, someone says, "So what should you do? What's more important, reading the Bible or praying in your devotions?" Well, both are important. You really can't separate the Word of God from prayer. They go together. And I'll tell you one thing. You say, "Well, should I go through my prayer list first? Should I take that time? Or should I take time in the Word of God first?" Now, I put time in the Word of God before I go through my prayer list. And I'll tell you why. Whose words are more important, his or mine? His are. So maybe my prayer life's going to change a little bit after I get in tune with him. So I'm going to let him speak first. And I think it's better to let him speak more, too. I'm not saying we shouldn't have extended seasons of prayer. We should. But a lot of times I found that the best time of my seasons of prayer are also with my Bible open. It's not just, "Okay, I'm going to get through this. I'm going to pray for 2 hours straight. That's all I'm going to do." Well, I need some guidance in the Word of God, really. He speaks to me, I speak to him. That's what devotions is. You're having a conversation with God. You're reading the Bible, and he speaks to you. You pause. You meditate on his Word. You think about it, and he's, whoa, and you start thinking about it, and you're praying to him, and then you get back, and he speaks some more, and you talk back to him some more. It's a conversation. You know, when I get up and I talk to my wife in the morning, it's not, you know, "Hi," and that's it for the rest of the day. You know, I want some interaction. We speak to each other. We're not saying everything I'm going to say to you today is right now. Boom. All right, get that out of the way. You know, that'd be horrible. What kind of marriage is that? Well, what kind of relationship with God is that? So you got to start with a short prayer, and then you go secondly then to reading your Bible and thinking about it. And you expect God to speak to your heart. Again, you're not ticking off, "Oh, I got this little thing on my schedule. I got my Bible reading schedule done for today." You're looking for a message every time you open the Bible. Now, he may show you a promise that's going to help you that day. He may convict you about a sin in your life. One that you know about, one that you don't know about. He may tell you to do something. He may tell you to change something. He may remind you of how good he is. Or a truth about him that just makes you stop and thank him and praise and say, "Well, that's not really that practical." It is practical when you're thinking about God and who he is. We ought to get consumed with who he is. And when we have faith in who he is, he can bless us a whole lot more. And then he may warn us about something to prevent us from falling into temptation. He may teach us a lesson from the life of someone else in the Bible. So whatever it is, we need to be looking for a promise. We need to be looking for a warning. We need to be looking for a blessing. We need to be looking for a command, a principle, just a fact about God. I need something from you this morning, Lord. Now, if you're only reading two verses, you might not get a whole lot. You might have to read a little bit more than that. So as you read, you think about what God's saying. You think about what he wants you to learn for the day. You think about his message. And we need time to think. Now, turn with me to Psalm 119. Now, I've got a lot of verses there. I'm not going to have time to read them all. But there are a lot of verses in Psalm 119 about meditation. So we're told to meditate on God's word. That means we stop, we think about it, and we pray about it. We chew on it a little bit. And so in Psalm 119, verse 15, it says, "I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways." I'm going to think about what you say. I'm going to think about the direction you want me to go. Verse 23, "Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes." Verse 48, "My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. Verse 78. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause. But so when people are against you, what did he do? He says, but I will meditate in thy precepts. 97. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation. What's that next phrase there? All the day. We meditate on the word of God. It's good not to forget what you read in the morning. You know, part of memorizing verses is not just memorizing, but thinking about them and then writing them down. And you might not memorize it really well. That's fine. I mean, it's good if you try. And you might not get it right away. Put it on a little 3x5 card or something. Stick it in your pocket. You're dealing with something in your life, stick it in your pocket. Pull it out later and you've got it right there. You're meditating on it. And God will help you with things. So God wants us to meditate. And by the way, the word meditate means to ponder. And when you ponder, it means it involves thinking. We don't like to think. We like other people to think for us. We want to be amused instead of muse. And we need to consider what God says. And when he speaks to us, we pause, we think about it, we pray to him, we have that communication with him. It's like having that conversation. It's exciting. Their devotions can be really exciting. So that's letter B. Letter C, write down God's message to you for each day to help you remember. All right? I think it's good. It's okay to keep a journal of what God spoke to you about in the Bible. It helps you. When you have a journal, it actually forces you to look for something. Because you know, I'm going to write something down. I don't want to just leave the day with nothing written down. I want to have something written down. And it helps you. It's a vehicle, it's a tool to help you to write things down. So when God wanted Moses and Joshua to remember something, he told them to write it in a book. Exodus 17:14. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. So if God speaks to you, I think it's good to write it down. You don't have to keep a journal like that. You can write something in your Bible. I write in my Bible all the time. I underline. I don't use highlighters. I underline. I write something down. I have thought books that I write things in. You can get a journal. All sorts of different ways you can. And I'm not saying you're a heathen if you never write anything down. But it does help. Okay? And you can go back and you can rehearse it and you can remember it. I remember setting up a little devotional when Sarah, my oldest, was just 5 years old. We said, okay, she's going to start having devotions. And so I set up a little thing kind of with a journal, and I put in where she would read, and I gave her short passages, and I did things in the Gospels. I did some passages in Proverbs, and she had to write down, you know, that she read, you know, what you read. What did God speak? I'm trying to teach her all this, you know, write down God's message. She's 5 years old. You know, I'm still learning all this about how to teach your kids how to have devotions. And so she, you know, sometimes she didn't write anything. I said, well, did you have your devotions? She says, yes. I said, but I didn't really get anything. I said, well, okay, well, just write down, you know, I read my Bible. So that's a good start, you know. But before we got to that, she's just writing stuff down sometime. One time she... I had to show this to my wife, and I just couldn't. It was great. It says, don't follow a strange woman. Well, that's good advice, you know. Don't follow a strange woman. That's probably pretty good. So she got that from her devotions that day. Anyway, you know. Get a little notebook, get something, and just rehearse it. And the Lord will speak to us through his word. And the best way to remember is to write it down. And you go back and review it later. So that's letter C. Letter D. Choose a memory verse for the week. You know, if you're struggling with something, you can choose a memory verse for that week. And just say it, you know, 4 or 5 times that morning. You can't. You're having devotions. You don't. But then put it on the 3x5 card and just kind of work your way through it through the week. And throughout the day, if you can. All right. And so that's, you know, Psalm 119, verse 11. We know that thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I will not sin against thee. And then Psalm 119, verse 16. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. That was a decision. I'm not going to forget it. That means he's going to keep rehearsing it and keep thinking about it. And when God speaks to us about something, it's pretty important that we don't forget it. So memorizing can help with that. And then letter E is have some time for prayer. And what is prayer? It's talking to God. The word pray means ask. So there is a sense of asking. You can turn with me if you want. Ooh, yeah, we got time. Maybe. Matthew 6. Yeah, I'm getting through. I'm almost through my first point, so whew, we are cruising. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. This is the model prayer. A lot of people call it the Lord's Prayer. It's really not. I mean, you want the Lord's Prayer, you got to go to John 17 to see what he prayed. This is more. He told us to pray in this manner. It's a model. You can quote these things as Bible. It's okay to quote that to the Lord. You know, but God doesn't want vain repetitions either. I think what he wants us to get is the idea of the content of some of these things. And really, I mean, we could preach an entire message out of this, and we don't have time for that. But in Matthew 6, verse 9, he says, after this manner. He says, these are some things to include in your prayer. Pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Okay, so you're acknowledging him for who he is. You're praising him. That's a good thing. Didn't we say to start with that? I think we did, didn't we? So even Jesus agrees with that. Why? Because he agrees with the Bible. And in verse number 10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And of course, you know, we ought to want God's will to be done. Not just in heaven, but in earth. That means we're submitting ourselves to what he wants us to do each and every day. Lord, here am I. What do you want? That's hard. And we should dedicate our lives, you know, one time. But then we have to keep going back and making sure that we didn't take our life back and try to put ourselves back on the throne, so to speak. So it ought to have praise. It ought to have submission, verse 10. And then asking, this is the idea of praying for our daily necessities, verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. You say, well, my cupboard's full. My freezer's full. Yeah, that's the problem with us. Affluent Americans. We don't think we need God. Yeah, you still need to pray for your daily bread. And you ought to thank him for it. And we ought to and say, Lord, whatever my needs are. You know, one thing I loved, I didn't have to explain this verse to most people when we were in Zambia. A lot of them lived hand to mouth. They didn't have freezers. They were looking for the food for that day many times. And so they understood praying for daily bread. You say, well, that's so bad. What, having to trust God every day is bad? I think it's bad for us sometimes that we have so much. And we like it, but give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our sin, our debts as we forgive others, our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. So he's giving praise to God there again. But look at in verse 11, it says, give us. Verse 12, forgive us. Verse 13, lead us. Verse 13 again, deliver us. Those are four things he said we should pray. And I notice with me, and it's not give me. It's give us. So in our prayer time, I just see from this passage that it's not all about me. I ought to have some intercessory prayer too. I can pray for my needs. He told me to pray for my needs, but I should also be praying for the needs of my wife, my children, my pastor, the staff, the other people in the church, missionaries. And I need to be praying for a lot of people. And that's what he tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, that we should pray for all kinds of people there listed. Our family, friends, lost people, folks at the church, government officials, even our enemies. We should pray for them. Boy, when we start praying for people that don't like us, that we don't like, it really starts changing our attitude and our hearts toward them, too. Yeah, and that incorrigible brother or sister that you think you have, pray for them. And sometimes when you're praying for them, you start seeing things in your own life. Now, you can't possibly pray for everything and everybody every day, can you? No, so you just try one day and say, well, this is too much, I can't do it. You give up? No, I think there's some things you should pray for every day. And this, you can have a daily prayer list, and I think you can have a weekly prayer list. I have my prayer list. There's some things I pray for every day. My wife, I pray for her every day. She prays for me every day. Why? Because she's got to live with me. I pray for my kids every day. There's certain things I pray for every day. And there's other things on my prayer list because I have like two or three different prayer lists. I can't pray for everything on every list all the time. So I have different days marked. This is a Monday, Tuesday, Monday, Wednesday, Friday list. Here's a Thursday and Saturday list. There's different things that I pray for at different times. And so that might help you if you think you're overwhelmed. I can't pray for everything. You can't. But you can if you spread it out. Okay? So have a time of prayer. You ought to have a prayer list that includes different sections, your family, your personal needs, your friends, church ministries, your church staff, missionaries, lost souls, people who have health problems. But ultimately, you need to be asking Jesus to help you every day and really looking for help. Now, prayer lists are great because they help us to remember some things to pray for. But they also can be a detriment because you're just reading names and reading things and you're not even knowing what you're talking about. So we got to make sure that we keep our devotions from the heart. And then letter F would be record any blessings or answers to prayer. I think that's helpful for us. You review what God has done for us. And Psalm 103, verse 2 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Days of doubt and discouragement are going to come to our lives. And it's good for us to rehearse what God has done for us. And it helps us, it'll cheer us and give us renewed hope to keep going on. That is a real brief outline. I put together a book, and this is not an advertisement. I'm just trying to explain. It has helped a lot of folks. My family has used it for a long time. This was the beginning. I had the beginnings when I was putting it together for my kids and expanded it quite a bit. It's a weekly journal. It's a whole year's worth. There's all sorts of helps in here. This outline that I gave is in here. Some other outlines. There's blank prayer lists. There's a Bible reading schedule for a whole year. There's, where to look in the Bible section. Some uncommon words defined for the King James Version. There's a place for blessings and answers to prayer in the back, a few pages. And I'm not saying that for anything like that. If you need a good deal, you can see me. All right. I'm not trying to. If you don't, or go to the bookstore, look at it. Take a picture of it. Go home and buy a cheap notebook and write all those things down yourself and save the money. OK, I'm not looking for your money. This is a tool that we put together to help people. All right. So that was number one. Now I got to move real quickly. Number two, keep your devotions heartfelt. Psalm 119, verse 145 to 47. I will cry with my whole heart. Hear me, O Lord. I will keep thy statutes. I cried unto thee. Save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. I prevented the dawning of the morning, and I cried. I hoped in thy word. So keep them heartfelt. Sometimes our prayer is pretty stale. Make it come from the heart. Number three, keep your devotions balanced. Back in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. That's the Old Testament and the New Testament. Some people are afraid of that Old Testament. Some people, that's I don't understand it. That's boring. That's not as applicable. Don't neglect it. We need the whole counsel of God. Get a schedule. There's a schedule in here. Like I said, if you want, take a picture of it. I don't care. But where you can read some in the Old Testament and some in the New Testament. So you're going to get something no matter what you're doing every day. Number four, keep your devotions consistent. Psalm 86, verse 3, be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily, daily, daily. Years ago, my son came to me and said, Dad, some days I really get a lot of my devotions. Some days I don't. I said, same with me. Some days are really sweet. It's like eating. I just explained to him. Sometimes I eat a really good meal and, oh, I love it. And other meals, you've all had them. You eat it. All right? I'm not talking about my wife's cooking, all right? I was talking about your wife's cooking. No. Settle down. No, but we've all had food that we didn't like. And I just said, buddy, you still eat. And it gives you strength to keep going. I said, by the way, you're a young boy. You keep eating. You keep growing. Some of it's really good. Some of it's not so good. But it helps you grow. I said, that's what it is. I'm reading my Bible daily. It might not be like, whole earth just shook because I read that morning. But I'm getting something and I'm going to continue to grow. And the days, even when I'm stiff-necked, God's going to keep speaking to me. And if I'm consistent, I'm going to get something. And then number five, keep your devotions full of faith. Have faith in the promises of God, the principles of God, the person of God. Number six, keep your devotionals practical. I see absolutely nothing wrong with using a daily devotional book as a supplement, but never as a substitute. Okay? I read a devotional every morning to even before I as a jump start to my devotions, just to get my mind working in the right direction. And there's other devotional books that are designed to give a thought. I wrote one on New Testament, one on a big chunk of the Old Testament. And why did I do that? Because there's people in my congregation that saying I'm reading through them and I'm not getting anything out of it. Well, I want them to read, but here's at least one thought you can leave with. So read the Bible first, then read the devotional. It's like a commentary in a sense. It's something practical. And then number seven, keep your devotion spirit led. Let the Holy Spirit change your direction. I'm going to read my Bible, but as I'm reading my schedule, he might start speaking to me about something else. I stop. I go to that other passage. I let him deal with me. I talk to him. I can catch up on my schedule later. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love. Thank you for your word. I pray that we'll have